Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know, as we're taking this time to, you know, remember the gift of Jesus, and we're remembering the whole reason of what this is all about, I've just been taking some time, and I went back to the beginning, and I was spending some time in Genesis, and I just want to encourage you that if you're opening up your Word and you got the Bible, just pause. So often it's just like we want to read something or something that's important to us, but I just want to encourage you to pause. And it's amazing. It's just like when we slow down the most, and it's all of a sudden you're going to see something that God's going to show you something you've never seen before. Mm. And when I was reading in that moment of creation, you know, the moment that God spoke words and universes exploded into existence.
Isn't that wild?
And God was just reminding me how awesome He is. I mean, it was just like, sometimes I open my mouth and people pass me some bubble gum or a breath mint. I'm like, hey, thanks a lot.
What were they trying to say?
I thought I remembered brushing my teeth that morning, but maybe I didn't. I don't know. Might have been right after I had some coffee. But God opens up His mouth and literally creation comes into existence. That's like, we don't skip over that. It's like, God is speaking, and He says, let there be light, and that which didn't exist obeyed God into existence. Something that did not even exist instantly obeyed God, and it's like, here I am. Oh, I didn't know I had life, but now I do. I am now here. And if you've never read Genesis before, God goes through and each day creates something. And He creates something. And in Genesis 1:3, it says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Mm. God saw the light and said that it was good. But something that I have never seen just rocked my world. They got to get this. Now, that was in Genesis 1:3, right? Mm-hmm. But the amazing thing is, though, you look at Genesis 1:14, it says, and let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. Let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two lights. Mm-hmm. He made the greater light and the lesser light to govern the night. He was basically creating the sun, the moon, and the stars. And I just sat there for a moment, and it's like God spoke out light. Then He actually created the sun, that which gave light. Mm-hmm. And the powerful thing is, though, is that he's speaking this out. He's not doing anything with His hands. He's just saying a word, and it's coming into existence. And it's like you got. Like, that just blows your mind. Like, I can't even try to. He's just awesome. Just worship Him. He's so awesome. And when you continue that down, God creates man. And He names him Adam. But when you back up a little bit, this is the first thing that God actually forms. He uses His hands. I mean, it's just like, okay, God went through the whole process of creating, you know, the earth, creation, the universe, animals, mm-hmm. land, water, mountains. But now that there's dirt, and now dirt has come into existence, then, I mean, it's just like, I was trying to picture this, and I just didn't. It was just causing me to worship God and just sit in His awesome presence. Imagine God in all the vast of heavenlies. He kneels down to the tininess in comparison to His vastness. And He kneels down to the soil of the earth. And He uses His gentle hands that He's so big, but He cares about the intricate qualities of who you are. And He forms out the shape of a human body. Mm-hmm. Then he takes it a step further and he goes, whew. And when you read the Word of God, this is in Genesis. This is in Genesis 2. Genesis 2, verse 7, it says, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. And he became a living being. This was the first time that God, it says, breathed the breath of life. And I was simply undone. Mm-hmm. Because God breathed everything else into existence. And it doesn't say this, I don't know, I'm just dialoguing, but it's just like, I wonder if that itself was the Holy Spirit, because he breathed his life into Adam. I mean, I don't know, I'm not trying to add, I'm just dialoguing and just the awesomeness of who God is. But you think about it, God created us in his image, in his likeness, in his qualities, to be just like him, to create things. Mm-hmm. And when we're thinking about the awesomeness of God, I didn't even know how to like write anything when I was spending time with God. I just wanted to put it down. I was just like, whoa, he's really awesome. He's like really awesome. And I was just sitting there for a while. And then, you know, I had to get ready, and I'm getting ready to do, you know, my schedule for the day, and I'm driving my car. And as I'm driving through a neighborhood, I see all these houses to my left and to my right. And this is what the Holy Spirit says to me. He says, every house was first spoken before it was built. Mm-hmm. And that just blew me away, because I began to think about, you know, when I was in, the first time I went to college right out of high school, I majored in architecture. Mm-hmm. And architecture, if you're not familiar with that, it's basically the skill of building. How do I build things, structures. Design, structures, uh-huh. All that types of. Very intricate. I didn't do well. I lasted a semester. Painstakingly difficult.
Not your gift.
Oh, goodness. As a matter of fact, there was actually, the moment I realized I couldn't be an architect was my second semester. The first class we had was a model building class. This was the assignment. Design a house that does not look like a box.
Mm.
Couldn't do it. I was so undone what these guys and girls came into my class with. I was like, I am out of my league. You guys are awesome.
What'd you,
I don't know.
Some popsicle sticks.
Dude, I made, something like that. But I put together this house, and it looked like a box. It basically looked like the letter L. Because I was like, that was all I could come up with. Because I was, let me put this.
You just lock it up.
Oh, dude, I was locked up. There's two types of architects. You have like a artistic architect, and you have a mathematical architect. The mathematical, they see the lines, they see, you know, the right angles, they see it. They're very straightforward. The artistic ones, man, this one guy, I still remember this. It looked like a treehouse with an elevator and bridges, and I was like, did you hire somebody?
He built it or drew it?
Well, you had to build a model.
Okay.
Because architects, what they do is you have a full working schematic. If you can imagine a blueprint, you have to be able to first see what you design. Architects write out their vision painstakingly to the intricate details. So if you ever walk up to a construction site, there's that one table that's all matted out, and there's this massive roll of like 100 papers. Mm-hmm. That's the blueprints.
Yeah.
From the east angle, the west angle, the north angle, from the roofing, the foundation, the electrical, the plumbing, everything. But even in that, okay, it's got to go on a certain plot of land. It's got to go on this address, if you will, between these two houses. And these are the dimensions. Mm-hmm. Well, they have to build a model. So when you take that in consideration, we're building buildings. If you look at the house that you're in, if you're looking at the office space that you're in right now, that first was in an architect's visualization, and he had to write it out.
It was in his mind. Yeah.
Right. And then he spoke it out to the foreman. Then he spoke it out to the construction worker. Then he spoke it out to the plumber. Then he spoke it out to the person that was laying the cornerstone. Every house was first spoken before it was built. Mm-hmm. And you got to get that, because this is God-like qualities. God created us to create things just like he created things. Which really blows your mind. You're like, whoa. I don't know if I'm exactly breathing out the breath of life here. But the reality is, you are creating things. And that's the thing. It's just like sometimes we can think, this is it. The question is not, am I creating? The question is this. What are you creating? And in John 6:63, it says, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and life. This is Jesus talking. And I want to get into this, the importance that what we are speaking does have life. Mm-hmm. And what we are speaking does take form. We're continuing, you know, this conversation about the breath of life. And we left off talking about our words matter. Mm. What we're talking about, and the one of the last things that we shared was in John 6, this is actually Jesus speaking. He's saying, the Spirit gives life. It's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, they're full of the Spirit and life. And so often that we don't, I know, you know, times in my own life, we can say something and then all of a sudden realize the implications of like, okay, that wasn't just a word to that person. Mm-hmm. That meant something to them, because we might not take in consideration the experiences that in their own lives, I might say something. You know, for instance, I grew up in Detroit and then I moved to now the Florida Gulf Coast region. And let me ask you this. What is a toboggan to you?
Toboggan.
A toboggan. Exactly.
Don't know.
Up north, it's called it's basically a sled.
I was going to say that.
But down south, it's, you know, this is, last time I was talking with somebody, they told me that it's perceived as a hat. It's like, you might be talking about this one thing, but not realize, you know, but basically what I'm talking about is like our words have meaning and our words have effect. And the question is not what I said before. The question is not, are we building? The question is, what are we building? And the significant thing is that what matters most to God is people and how they are growing up. You think about a newborn baby, they grow up, they learn, they get stronger. And what really stands out to me is, like, you know, I gave the analogy of what we talked about as an architect, that they have to build a whole working set of drawings and cast the vision and make it clear and make it plain so that we can walk with it, or run with it, I'm sorry. And then all of a sudden a building comes to form. An office building comes to form. A shopping center is now seen. Mm-hmm. But the question is, how are we building up people? What are we speaking over our coworkers? What are we speaking over our spouses? What are we speaking over our children? What are we speaking over a generation? Mm-hmm. And in 1 Peter 2, it says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And we might not think that what we're saying is so powerful, but I can guarantee, and I know personally, or whoever, you remember some things that were spoken over you as a kid, and you struggle with it because you're like, I just, you know, that's not true. It's not true. It's a mindset. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this on VFN TV before, and we'll make some related articles for you to give that more of a deeper awareness. But what we're saying has meaning. And a lot of times, too, you know, there's a segment that will relate. It's just like, what sentence are you serving? Mm-hmm. You can say one thing, and it might not always be the full truth. And oftentimes, we can create entire thinking processes based on these words. Some are biblical, some are not. But the point that we're trying to get, when you look at Proverbs 18, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And James continues to talk about the fact of what we're saying has so much more of a deeper impact than we might initially think about. So I want to encourage you that it's just like when you're having a conversation, when you're in a situation or you don't like what you see in the natural, you know, Hebrews 11 says faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. Speak out what you're believing, what God has made known to you. God has a plan for your life, even if your current natural situations don't line up with what God's word says about you. Begin to agree what God says about you. And if you've got those struggling moments in your relationship, in the workplace, you know, even in your own life, speak life over it. And catch those moments when you're tempted to speak criticism, when you're tempted to speak complaining, when you're tempted to speak doubt and say, you know what? I just bind that word and I just speak life in this situation. I speak life over my thoughts. And the amazing thing is, though, is that you're building up a situation in a godly perspective. You're building up people. When we're speaking out over our leadership, pray for them. You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to lift up our leadership. We're supposed to pray for our leadership. When we're speaking out over our communities, our neighborhoods, our very streets, we can speak out, Lord, I just speak out a hedge of protection over my neighborhood. Lord, I ask that your angels would be upon and just, I speak out safety, protection. Lord, I speak out jobs. I speak out employment. Over your fellowship. Lord, I just pray for a hunger of Jesus Christ. Lord, make Jesus known to the body of Christ. Lord, I pray that you would hinder everything that hinders love. That we would give you glory over your home. Lord, I just bless this marriage. I speak out unity, that we would walk together. Be mindful of your words over your children. You have the mind of Christ. This math test would subject to God's will in your life. I bless you. I speak grace over you, good godly friends, and over yourself. I'm a child of God. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. God loves me. God's got a plan for my life. I'm blessed and highly favored. And at first, like when you say those words, it might not, you're like, man, that just sounds kind of weird. That is that confirmation that this is that, okay, I need to speak this out. I need to speak this out. And that's the great thing about abiding. We talk about it because this is that Genesis 2 moment. This is why Jesus came, to redeem, to bridge that gap, to reconcile what was lost in the garden. The Bible says that God walked in the cool of the day. He spent time with Adam. And that's what abiding is, that we can spend time with the one that breathed life into us. And that's what it comes down to. Because we ask ourselves, okay, how do I speak life over this situation? God, what is your perspective in this situation? We know what to speak by spending time with the one who first spoke life into us. We'll be right back.
What I was going to say was, it reminds me of a story that I heard once, you know, how powerful our words are. I mean, words are spirit. You know, they breathe life or they breathe death. You know, James talks about that. And they can, you know, they turn our whole course of our life and how we use them. But the story I heard, I believe it was Joyce Meyer. She was talking about this woman that sent in this testimony. And she was in her house or something, and then she had this plant, you know. And she, I don't know, she didn't like the plant or whatever. She kept saying, man, that thing's so ugly. It's so ugly. And, you know, she keeps saying this thing. But then she got to notice that the leaves on this plant began to wither.
Wow.
And every day they just get darker and darker, and then the leaves just what shriveled up, and the leaves just all fell off of this plant. She's like, wow, what in the world's going on with this? And the Lord spoke to her. You know, she got the revelation that her words killed that plant, and was giving her the revelation of our words matter. They do matter what you say. And when she got that, she was like, oh my gosh. So she repented, and then she thought, you know, and God impressed upon her, because she had a real strained relationship with her mother-in-law.
Yeah.
and they hardly ever spoke. And then she got the revelation of, man, I'm going to speak good words over my relationship with my mother-in-law. You know, and then she began to pray over her and bless her and speak good things about her and all that. And you know what happened? By the end of that day, that she got that revelation and started praying those positive words over her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law called her.
Really?
Out of the blue. She said that she hadn't talked to her in, I don't know, weeks or months or whatever it was.
Wow.
And just struck up conversation to see how she was doing. That's how powerful our words can be. They can bring life or bring death. It killed the plant when she spoke all these negative words. But they brought life when she blessed her mother-in-law. Think about that.
Who are we killing with our words?
Right. We're bringing life, bringing death. So that's why important is when we're praying, you know, we speak life. We speak things that are not as though they are. You know, if you got strained relationships, if you got health problems, you got whatever it is, don't look at the circumstance and keep speaking that out and agreeing with it. You speak the opposite of what you want to see. You start creating with your mouth. Start creating in the spirit realm, like, and give it to God. Say, God, no matter what I see here, I'm going to speak life over it.
Yeah.
You know, be healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
It'll be done according to your faith.
According to your faith, absolutely.
That's so powerful. You know, be that godly architect of your situation and speak out what God would have it to be. We're continuing this conversation about the breath of life. This is so encouraging. I am so encouraged. I gotta listen to this. Man, you should check out that TV program.
Good stuff.
Beautiful. But we're talking about this, and it's just like, oh my goodness, you mean to tell me that my words have the power of life and death?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. Now I don't have to keep buying plants for my kitchen.
Stop blessing them.
I got it now.
But bless those protein bars in Jesus' name.
I speak out protein bars in Jesus' name. They will come to pass.
That's right.
You know, we're talking actually, you know, Pat, you brought up an awesome point over the break. Mm-hmm. There was actually a minister, and he actually wrote a book, and it was called The Fourth Dimension.
Yeah.
And it was by Dr. Youngyi Cho. Mm-hmm. And I encourage you, if this is stirring you and really encouraging you, you need to get that book. It's Dr. Youngyi Cho. It's actually called The Fourth Dimension. Mm-hmm. And in this, he talks about this very journey and his own revelations of what he learned. And you actually were talking about his story, how mm-hmm. he walked through that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he you know, he lived in a real in a village, really, real impoverished situation and part of his life. And you know, he was a minister, and he would walk from village to village, you know, and witness to people. He's like, man, this is just wearing me out. Lord, I need a bike or something. You know, I need something.
He did not have cars.
And no, not where he was at.
And, or
and then I guess he also needed a desk, you know, where he could actually study and, mm-hmm. you know.
And a chair.
And abide. And he wanted a nice chair. And it got to just give him this, you know, burden to really just believe God for these items.
Mm-hmm.
He just started praying, Lord, give me the bike, you know, and, you know, so I can go from place to place, and I want this desk and a chair, blah, 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 and, you know, and he was just really just so focused on these three things, and he's just believing God for it, and then 1 month went by, 2 months went by, you know, 6 months went by.
You mean I gotta wait for this?
It's like, God, I mean, you spoke to me, I really believe that this is from you, that, you know, that you're gonna do this for me. What is up? Why has this not happened yet?
I hit the microwave button, and I haven't heard a ding yet. Come on.
And the Holy Spirit said, well, I would, but you're not being specific enough.
Wow.
Specific.
I said a bike.
And then the bell, you know, the lights went on. He's like,
right.
Oh, okay, I get it. So then he got specific. He didn't just ask for a bicycle. He wanted an American bicycle, because back then, you know, our stuff was made
right.
really
like
well.
Steel,
you know,
or something.
Hard.
He wanted
yeah,
it
yeah,
real.
It wasn't this flimsy stuff.
Right,
it was
right.
like real hard, you know,
right, durable,
beefy bike that would last forever. And you know, all the things that he wanted in this bicycle, he wrote down. And then he just asked for a desk.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted a mahogany desk,
mm-hmm.
solid
Ooh.
Wood.
Yeah.
You know, just beautiful. You know, he broke it all down. And then not just any chair. He wanted a fancy, one of them executive type chairs with a fancy wheels.
So, yeah, because I could just wheel around.
Yeah,
like
just wheel around. Yeah, feel important, whatever. No. And once he started praying specifically over these items, I mean, within days.
What was the journey too that there were people in his fellowship that he's like, I have.
Oh, that's right.
He's like, I have a bicycle.
He said he was pregnant.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. And then what was funny was like as he was talking, they're like, well, where is it? We want to see it. He's I'm pregnant with it.
Yeah.
It's in me.
That's right.
He's going to keep speaking it out.
That was all part of the whole journey. Yeah. He was speaking to his people. And, in the book, it talks about exactly how these things came to pass. I mean, it was to the T what he asked for. So when it showed up, he knew exactly.
That's from God.
That's exactly what I asked
for. That's my vision.
That's what I wrote down.
Wow.
And that's what I believe God for.
Wow.
Isn't that powerful?
Well, that highlights so much of the truth because, it escapes me now. I'm just trying to talk about that. But that's exactly what the Bible says is write down the vision and we'll have the
make it plain.
Yeah, we'll have the scripture related, but make it plain, just like what you're saying. Write down specifics so that a herald can run with it and understand it. Because if you don't understand it, how can someone else understand it? And if they don't understand it, well, hey, that's great feedback because you're like, all right, well, let's tweak this a little bit.
Right.
Because God longs to bless you. God longs to give you the desires, and it's just like that bicycle situation, but it's just like, if he did, you would have no awareness to be like, actually, that was from God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, write down the specifics. I think about an old situation in my life, and it was just like, I needed a breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a place in my life where I had, the place I was staying at was not the most peaceful environment. And I knew I was just like, God, I just want a place of peace where I can just, I just want your presence just to dwell so beautifully and and powerfully. So I knew I needed a house. Mm-hmm. So I wrote down literally.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote down the cross streets where I was looking. I wrote out, I wanted a one floor. I'm very rarely home, so I didn't want a big yard. I didn't want to have to do a lot of yard work. Two bedrooms or however many, and wrote out specifically. I had a list.
Wow.
Like, I ordered that.
Wow.
And I was actually in a conversation with Greg. And right at the end of that conversation, I don't remember what we're talking about, but the Holy Spirit just said, because there was a specific neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, man, I love this neighborhood. I always saw families, and it was just so much of a community. And people were out and talking. I was just like, I just felt drawn to. And I would just go there and just drive. And I was like, I never saw a house for sale. Never saw a house for rent.
Mm-hmm.
And right after a specific conversation, the Holy Spirit just said, go to that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like 11:30 at night.
Really?
And I was like, okay. And it was on the other end of town. So I'm driving.
Uh-huh.
And the whole time, I knew it. I'm just like, I just speak it out. That house is there. One of those houses is for rent. That is my house. Lord, I can see it, and I'm driving, but I'm speaking it out. I'm speaking it out, and I walk, and all of a sudden I drive into the neighborhood, and there was a for rent sign.
As soon as you pull in.
As soon as I pull in, I saw that for rent sign. Now, granted, it's like 11:30 at night.
Mm-hmm.
I parked my car. There was nobody in the driveway, and I just had the confirmation that I could just feel it in every fiber of me. I walked into that driveway. I raised my hands, and I received that. I took it. In the driveway, I'm like, I declare it. Right. I felt it. Like I saw the shrubs.
Mm-hmm.
I asked for a one story, level yard, in the very in a certain location, knowing the fact of like I'm always driving and wanted things nearby. And I walked up to it, and it was just like I knew it because I'd been speaking. And that's the thing is like don't just write it down, speak it out, and then believe it.
Yeah,
believe that God hears you and that. It'll be done according to your faith.
Yeah.
And I said, this is that house. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you hear my prayers. I thank you that you hear my faith. And this is that house. And that house was for rent. I had been looking for a house for probably about 6 months. Actually, more than that, because the house I was in before was like a temporary house.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the house in less than 7 days.
Mm-hmm. Wow. From the time you walked up to it?
From the time I saw it. And the powerful thing is that when I had spoken to the landlord, when I was signing the contract, they had put that sign up like 2 days before. God, the creator of the heavens and earth, who spoke the breath of life into you, is waiting for you to get specific with him. Spend time with the one who loves you and speak out the breath of life. And speak out the breath of life over your situation, over others, and over yourself. Iabide.org. God longs to give you that bike in your situation.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. We'll be right back.